very grateful for you taking the time out of your busy schedule to share with us some of your insights of how Florida fits into your lifestyle. So what part of Florida have you been? We were just talking just before we hit record a little bit about how you've started vacationing in Florida on a regular basis. So what area do you go to?
It's an old school Florida area called Anna Maria Island. It's about,
oh yeah,
it's about 45 minutes from south of Tampa.
If you go, okay,
if you go further south, you'll hit Sarasota. So it's a little north of Sarasota. So oddly enough, a good buddy of mine bought a house down there. Right after the crash. So he got a really good price and he was renting it out. And I said, sure, I'll go try it out. And I've never had any sort of, we travel a lot in the Caribbean, my family and I. Like, we've been to practically every island. And I never had any interest in going to Florida. Like, other than I went there once on vacation, it was fine. So we go down and we rent this guy's house. And we fell in love with this part of Florida, Anna Maria Island. It's like old school. You can't build higher than three stories. There's no fast food places on the island, but like right across, as soon as you cross the island, there's a Publix and there's a McDonald's. And so
there's civilization.
Yeah. And it was just like a light went on in my head. And my whole family, like, we started bringing down my in-laws. We'd bring my father-in-law, my mother-in-law down there. We'd go for a couple.
So when was that first trip? When did you discover Anna Maria Island?
The last time I went was 2019 in September. And I think probably, I want to say 2015.
It was the first time?
Yeah. First time. And it was just, you know, just the people, the friendliness, the, obviously the weather, right? We went both times, like we went in the summer and we went in the winter.
Yeah.
I actually prefer the summer because the water was warmer.
Yeah, really nice.
And it was just, you know, we had our little pool. I'd be fishing all day because we'd be 5 minutes from the beach. That's why I'd go down. It's my fishing trip for the year. So I literally would fish from, I'd walk down to the beach, fish in the morning, an hour or so, come back home, have some breakfast. And go back to the beach and fish some more. Then go to the dock. They had a pier, a really big, they've got two big piers up there.
Yeah.
The pier, fish some more until lunchtime, come back home, or have lunch on the pier and come back home, hit the pool, take a nap, get up, go fishing again.
Nice.
Dinner's starting to get done. Have a couple of cocktails, come back home, have some dinner, then go watch sunset.
Yeah.
Back to the pool, a few more cocktails. And that was my day. It was like,
sounds like a nice, fulfilling, busy day there.
It was a great, and on top of that, so I was telling you before, I have Airbnbs here in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was running my Airbnbs from there. I was just.
Yeah.
Online, booking things, organizing my cleaners. But it was really, really nice. I was just really super surprised how much I liked it. And then after that, we kept on going and we'd go back every year, sometimes twice a year.
So how long of a stretch would you go at a time?
Minimum 10 days.
Minimum 10 days.
Yeah, maximum 2 weeks.
Yeah, nice. And always Anna Maria Island.
Oh yeah, always Anna Maria. Just because I just love so, there's just so much about it. I love it. And I have very good friends that own places in different parts, and they say great things about it too. So, you know, Sanibel, Palm Springs, that's Florida, right? Marco Island, Sarasota, and.
So who would you say Anna Maria Island would be for?
It's
like if somebody's listening to this, saying, you know, I like Florida, I like the idea, but then all I can think about is Disney and Universal, and I'm over that. Like, there's so much more in Florida than the theme parks. So put it this way, like, if you were to sell Anna Maria Island to someone, like, this is for you if, who would you recommend that lifestyle for?
If you like old school, slower, less bright and shiny things, but if you want that bright and shiny and some, you know, you want a little faster pace, it's like a 15 minute drive to that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So we went to Universal while we were there to get to Orlando. You could do that. It's an hour and a half drive or 2 hours, but you can go to Sarasota where it's, you know, slicker and it's shinier. That's a 15 minute, 20 minute drive. So if you want to, you know, a place that you can kick back, but it's gotten, okay. So for, I'll put it to you this way. They describe it like, if you live in Tampa, you go and you vacation or on the weekends in Anna Maria Island. It's the same comparison as if you live in Toronto, you go to Wasaga for the weekend.
Yes.
That's the best comparison I've heard. And because on the weekends, it gets busy.
Mm-hmm.
But during the week, it's a community with elementary schools and kids and slower. But it's like that. It gets like that on the weekend. It could be, there's some, you know, VRBOs and Airbnbs there that are like 8-bedroom houses where people come in and party and they're trying to clamp down on that.
Yeah.
But it's not Orlando. It's definitely not Orlando. But Orlando's not that far. But yeah, it's great. I just love it. So we started.
I love that comparison between Toronto and Wasaga. That's I think our listeners can really wrap their head around that. It's like, oh, okay, so I get it. So there's the big city, and then there's just outside the big city for like weekend getaway or week long getaway. Mm. Right.
And we started looking to buy places down there too.
Yeah. Speaking of that, so what's your claim to fame? Like, what do you do for work? You're a real estate investor. Do you dabble? Are you full time? Where, how did you get started in this whole thing?
So I've been a real estate investor for, my son's 21, so about 23 years. So I bought my rental properties here in Toronto in Little Italy.
Yeah.
So then I shifted into vacation rental / Airbnb by accident over about 12 years ago.
How do you mean by accident?
I bought a property that was a vacation rental. And I didn't know what a vacation rental was other than you go rent a cottage. I would rent a cottage every summer.
Yes.
I stopped doing that once I went to Florida. We stopped going to the cottage because it was.
Yeah, I can totally vibe with that. Like my wife and I are Filipino by heritage, right? We're both born there. But then we grew up in Canada. And instead of going north for the cottage in the summer, we were like, we want to go south for the winter. Like it's summer is nice in Toronto, so we want to stay put. But in the winters, that's where we want the sun, sand, and palm trees. So yeah, right there with you.
Yeah, and plus the drive getting up to a cottage, man, it was a gorgeous cottage. We went there maybe 4 summers in a row, but it's like a 3+ hour drive, whereas it's a 3-hour flight to Tampa.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like still, why am I doing that?
It's funny how distance is measured in time these days, right? Yeah. Not kilometers, but time. It takes half a day's worth of travel to go drive north or half a day's worth of travel to fly south.
Yeah.
Depending on your mood.
We stopped renting it. And the only reason we rented it, we ended up renting it during COVID was because you couldn't fly to go anywhere. So we rented
the right
back there. Yeah. So, real estate, my career was in advertising. I made commercials and I ran Mercedes-Benz Canada for a couple of years and I was in advertising for 30 years, but I was doing real estate on the side. And then I got into short-term rental by accident when I bought this place and they said it's vacation rental. And at that time, there's only 250 vacation rentals listed on VRBO in Toronto. And that business turned into a very lucrative business. And now...
So was that a condo or a single family home?
Multi...
Townhouse.
They're all regular family homes, but different apartments.
Okay.
So I don't have any condos in a big shiny glass tower. They're all just... Like, I've got an old Victorian that's got 4 units in it
on
one of the nicer streets here. And so that's my business now. That's what I do. So I'm kind of
retired. So that's how you started off.
Yeah. And then as my tenants moved out of my other regular rentals, I converted it into short-term / Airbnb vacation rental.
Okay, now, great.
I'm looking to invest south, and Florida is on the top of my list to have a vacation rental down there. Because one of the biggest lessons you learn in this go around with COVID is that when everything shuts down and you're in the vacation rental business, you're going to get hit. But Florida didn't get hit. Florida, everybody was still partying it up and, you know, going there and having a good time and renting stuff. So at the top of my list to buy my next place.
Interesting. So besides that aspect of it, the next step for you, like why I'm a little bit hesitant to jump into and put it this way, but a lot of Canadian real estate investors, myself included, from like 2017, as I mentioned before, is there's a bit of frustration with the Canadian laws. Have you ever experienced any of that, or do you have any opinions on that?
Canadian laws pertaining to?
Tenancy laws, real estate, investing.
Oh, don't even get me started. It's like the Landlord-Tenant Board in Ontario was set up and to facilitate landlords and tenants, and the process would get done in a month. So nobody was out of pocket because you had a 1 month, your security deposit from your tenant, but the problem would be solved in a month. But with COVID and everything else and that whole landlord tenant board, it takes 6 months to get a resolution to a non-paying tenant. So
6 months, you must know what you're doing. Cause I've heard like 8 to 10 months.
Well, that was 8 to 10 that's how it's going now. This was a year ago. So, but it's gotten worse. So that's the other big thing. Like I've had some great tenants. Just 99.99% of my experience with long-term tenants has been great, but it's
same
1% that made me lose my hair. So you've got a full head of hair still. So
it's because it's on the back. It's starting, my friend.
So that's the other thing. I've talked to a lot of experienced real estate investors like myself, and everyone's like, we're small to mid-size type of investors, and more of us are going, I'm not putting more money back in Ontario for sure.
Yeah.
There's no incentive.
What would be the top reasons that you're listening to? Cause I've been out of the, as I mentioned, I've been out of, well, not really out, but I still have a few properties in Toronto and surrounding area, but in large part, we're not really acquiring anything new. But what's the word on the street from your networks? What's the grumblings about? The distaste.
And what's happened,
that's pretty much it.
Well, also, there's a new trend, and it's a very scary trend of professional renters. That
yes,
they won. Even though you do all your due diligence, you check credit history, you check employment letter, you check employee. Two less check stubs, et cetera. Even though you do all that stuff, there are people that are coming up with the most detailed forged documents.
Wow.
And elaborate scams. You get them into your place and then they stop paying rent and you can't get them out for 6 to 8 months because of the landlord-tenant board. So it's not just the landlord-tenant board is a challenge. It's there is like serial professional renters that know how the system works and people are getting scammed with it. So that's the main reason. It's not a question of rent. Rent here, a one bedroom with a washer dryer, no dishwasher that I have in Little Italy used to go for $1,200
8 years ago.
I'm getting $2,900 now.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of the dollars. It's a question of there's no safety net for landlords that get scammed.
Meet Sarah. Sarah's a successful corporate executive with a small but growing portfolio of investment properties, with the hopes of one day quitting her day job and investing in real estate full-time. However, with soaring property prices, ridiculous bidding wars, and government-mandated rent controls, Sarah is finding it nearly impossible to find good cash-flowing properties these days. On top of that, lopsided tenancy laws and super high taxes are discouraging her from adding to her real estate portfolio. Fortunately, Sarah recently joined the Snowbird Investor Club, a group of like-minded investors and business owners who have successfully expanded into Florida and applied to become a member. Through the Snowbird Investor Club's comprehensive trainings and white glove ongoing support programs, Sarah now has a bona fide cross-border property investing business and gets to choose how much or how little she works. At the same time, Sarah's family enjoys the best of what both Canada and Florida have to offer. By expanding into Florida property investing as a business, Sarah has finally achieved the ideal work-life balance that she's been chasing for so many years. Join the Snowbird Investor Club today and make your cross-border lifestyle dreams a reality.
Yeah. And so what have you heard about Florida? I can help clarify some of that stuff.
Well, I've heard that Florida, besides there's, you know, there's always high demand in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But I also hear that there is, the laws do support landlords in terms
that is true.
Of, yeah, in terms of delinquent tenants. But like I said, I don't know what kind of tenant profile is out there, if they are doing the same sort of scamming that they do here, but at least you know you have some protection.
Yes. Not from what I've heard.
I've always considered myself, I'm a pretty great landlord. I get stuff done. Like my tenant, his furnace broke down yesterday. Okay, you're getting a new one today, in a day. There you go.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been a great landlord. I understand there's some terrible landlords out there that deserve to get in trouble, but, you know, if you take care of your business, and that is your business, is people, then they'll reward you. If you don't take care of them, you're going to get in trouble.
So. Yeah. Yeah, the challenge is it's that like 1% or even less of professional tenants that really know how to work the system in Ontario.
Yeah.
And it kind of breeds that too, because it allows for it. And on a very high level in Florida, basically it takes about 27 to 32 days on average, days, not months, but days to be able to legally have a delinquent tenant escorted off the property by the appropriate authorities. And what I've found is, because we did have one of those horror stories of a professional tenant in Canada recently, as recent as last year, it did take us like just over 8 months to legally get her out.
Yeah.
And it was actually mainly what helped us was the previous landlord she gave as a reference, he couldn't sit with his conscience. So he called us up and he said, you know what? Everything I told you previously was a lie. And she fabricated this and that and whatever, whatever. And so armed with that knowledge, we were able to be like, we know your secret, the jig is up. And then 2 days later, she was like out. We had called her on it. But that's the culture. Tenants, there are generations, unfortunately, generations of tenants growing up knowing that they can work that system, that the landlord-tenant board is lopsided. Good, bad, or ugly, it is what it is, Rick, with no judgment call. But as an investor, you have a choice. Do you want to operate in that market or in a different market where the culture of tenants growing up is you pretty much have 30 days before, if you're not paying your rent, you pretty much have 30 days until the authorities are going to escort you out. So they know they can't squat and work the system for that long. And it's all relative because I spoke to a friend here and he was like, oh man, you don't want to get the wrong tenant. I go, why? It takes forever to get them out. Like how long? It's like at least 30 days. And I was like, jaw dropped on the floor. I'm like, what? This was back in 2018, right? And I'm like, okay, buddy, where I come from. Yeah. So it's all relative.
And, you know, there's this Airbnb is been the latest target of the affordable housing story here in Toronto and elsewhere.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
Well, there every major market is blaming affordable housing shortages on Airbnb landlords, which they put in the bylaws here in Toronto and, you know, every major city, New York, London, everywhere. So they put in the bylaws. Do we have an affordable housing shortage still? Yeah, we do. And it's not because of Airbnb hosts. It's because of the city's policies on building and what they're prioritizing. So it's one of those things, and that's why I am shifting my business and going to places like Florida where I know there's less barriers for me to run my business successfully. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it's a lifestyle choice for myself. So, you know, come like all this, my goal is, you know, this time next year, I'm selling a few places here. I want to have a place down there that I'm going to go down in January or February for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I don't need to be down there year round. I've realized I like being in Toronto in the summer. But I'd rather be down in Florida whenever I want, or I'm running as an Airbnb, but if there's an empty week and nobody's there or a weekend, I'll just get on a quarter flight and get down there.
And less than $500.
Yeah, is Porter's flying to Florida, right? Yeah.
Oh, it changes. I don't know. I'm sure they fly somewhere, but yeah, there's a ton of direct flights, point being.
Yeah.
Or you can just drive over to the border, go to Buffalo and grab like a Frontier or Allegiant for less than $300 round trip for a single person.
Yeah, I've never done that. I know friends of mine that had places, they would go down to Buffalo and just... Yeah, and then
it's the best.
Yeah. People, wasn't it a place called People Express before, back in the 80s? It was a super
cheap. Oh, geez, I don't know. I wasn't born yet. Just kidding. I was born in the 70s. So
that's my retirement-ish goal. Like, I'm kind of retired now because I just run the rentals. And
yeah.
If I could just, hey, we gotta.
That's really cool, Arthur. I don't want to glaze over that because someone listening to this, chances are they're sitting on the 401 highway, like probably you and I did at one point, sitting in traffic an hour to an hour and a half in the morning, as well as in the evening. And they're sitting there thinking, gosh, here I am again, traffic jam. It's busier now than ever before. Plus, there's a fresh blanket of snow. And if only I could free up my time and like be able to manage my rental properties or be able to remotely manage how I make money. Like That's cool. So I don't want you to glaze over that. How, give me like a picture, a synopsis of what, how you run your properties, how you run your business.
Okay. So,
and from where and all that.
Two things. I love that you brought up the whole traffic thing because that's only gotten worse and worse, but you could sit for an hour in traffic going from Little Italy, Bathurst and College, downtown Toronto, to get to King and Yonge. If you, if that's where your job is, because I've done it recently, the traffic in Toronto hasn't gotten better, much less people that are commuting, right? And now with work from home, it's like, okay, now they're mandating that they want people to come in like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. My wife is working down by the waterfront, and it's now all these people that bought all these houses in St. Catharines or Hamilton or whatever, now they got to come in for those 3 days. And it's not nice. Okay, so that's one. The second mm-hmm. thing is, the great thing about Florida and vacation rental business is there's so much support and experienced property managers down there. That's yeah. the business. So you go down there, if you get an investment property down there, you know for sure. Like the real estate company that sold the house to my friend, they were also property managers. So they baked that into their business, right? So you know you've got really good resources if you get a vacation rental. They've been doing it for a long time. They'll hold your hand, walk you through it, say, okay, yeah, here are the cleaners that we use. They're great. This is what it costs. Here's the vacation rental insurance that you should have. This is what it costs. And all those costs get passed on to the person that's coming to rent the place. And people are
used to
doing that right now. They'll pay.
Yeah.
They're on vacation. There's two yes. times people will spend a lot of money that I've found is one, when they're getting married.
Yeah.
And two, when they're on vacation. When you're on vacation, you're in a different. So, yeah, I got to pay insurance. I got to pay for the cleaners. I got to pay for the linens. I got to buy my own groceries. I'm coming down there, sure, because I'm on vacation. I'm spending money. So
yeah.
that's the fantastic thing about wanting to invest in Airbnbs, vacation rentals down in Florida. Other states that aren't touristy, it's a challenge. You can find them from what my research has, you know, shown. But that's Florida is based on tourism.
Yeah, Disney
built Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why I would. I'm very big on investing there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even outside of like Disney and outside of Anna Maria Island, have you explored any other areas?
I've done some digging. Yeah, there's like Naples and where's this other place? Marco Island and then south near. Coral
Gables? Cape Coral?
Cape Coral, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they're all great places. It's just, I just feel comfortable there, but there's so many options. You know, where are you going to be on the Gulf side? You're going to be on the other side.
Yeah.
It all depends on, you know, what is your list of things that you want, but but it's always the other thing too, right? It's about the weather and hurricanes and this and the other thing, but you can find all the data on that because Anna Maria is on the Gulf and they've dodged every sort of weather thing for the last.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask that kind of pointed question because probably a thought or two on many people's minds as they hear this, or even as a thought crosses their mind about investing in Florida, because that's a commitment, right? Like you're stuck with something depending on how you approach it. Are you stuck or you're enjoying it? What about that? So what about hurricanes? What about the political climate? What about all these YouTube videos that say Florida sucks? Like there's all this negativity that gets proliferated and it kind of gets a bad rap. How does that affect you, or does it affect you at all? What do you think?
It does. And I think you could find negatives about any sort of place that you want to invest in, and you can find positives. It's just, it comes down to what's important to you, in my opinion. So yes. What are you putting value on, and what's worth it to you? So, like in my instance, I have very fond memories of Anna Maria Island.
Mm-hmm.
It's convenient. I know it. So for all those reasons and a few more, the fishing's great. Mm-hmm. For all those reasons, it's more attractive to me than another location.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But then, okay, am I willing to pay through the nose for insurance in Florida? Everywhere you go in Florida, you have to. It's insurance is always going to be a thing. So
yeah.
That's par for the course. But you're going to be living in Florida. Somebody would say, well, I could go to Belize or I can go to Costa Rica. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also have their challenges. So pick the challenge that you want to deal with. And then whatever is going to fit for you. Like the thing I like about Florida, too, is, like I said, I've vacationed in a lot of the Caribbean. I was born in Trinidad, and I'd go back there a lot. And I've stayed practically, not everywhere, but all the major islands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a funny thing about the major islands is once you get off the resort, it's a whole different world.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's like, I don't know if I can live here because I can't. This ain't the resort, right?
It's totally not the same.
Yeah. But the thing about Florida, which we loved, is, you know, Anna Maria Island's old school, but across the bridge when you're off the island, there's a Publix.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a McDonald's. So there's still some structure and modern day conveniences and everything. I don't feel like I'm on an island that has limited resources and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
or second class or third class type of amenities and things like doctors and pharmacies and all that kind of stuff. So that's the other reason for Florida. I'm not 20 years old where I can go rough it and backpack and go stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
Right. I need a bottle.
You still
of wine.
Need some creature comforts.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to know I can go get a bottle of wine and maybe a roast chicken at Publix and then call it a night.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's funny. I liken it sometimes to Florida is like an island connected to the mainland.
Yeah.
Well, well, that's basically the definition of a peninsula. It's on all three sides. There's water, there's ocean, but you still are connected to the mainland. And it's the best of both. You have the best of both worlds, right? Like I told you, I was born in the Philippines. I used to visit there quite a lot. So we have that island life sort of mentality and heritage. And it's a different world when you're like out in the rural areas, and it's like, I just want like a Band-Aid. Like I have to go to a convenience store to do that. Like, how about just a bottle of water? And we take that so for granted, but I know we're just kind of like in an echo chamber, loving off on Florida, but it really is. You have the best of both worlds there. So you can find these little out of the way, rural, lesser touched, old Florida type of things like Anna Maria Island. But then it's like, I just need some regular groceries and I want my favorite flavor ice cream. Well, it's a 20-minute drive across the bridge, right?
Oh, the other thing too is you could drive to Florida. We drove our last trip that we went down there. We drove. Excuse me. Funny story. On the way back, our car died almost.
Uh-huh.
But it was like an 18-year-old car. But we spent the night in a parking lot in Atlanta because every hotel was sold out and there's hardly any Airbnbs. But anyway, so we said, if you can drive or like to drive, you can drive there. You don't need to take a plane. Like, you know, if
that's
you get
right.
a place, Turks and Caicos is another place on my list, but you got to fly there. There's no driving to Turks and Caicos.
Yeah. Right?
So accessibility to Florida is convenient. Flying, or if you like to drive, just drive. I had friends that had houses down in Anna Maria too. another friend, they used to drive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She had two houses, actually. She sold them right before COVID, I think. But yeah.
So with Anna Maria Island, just as a kind of like, give me something that for an avid fisherman like you, what would be some insider local tips? Is there a pier to go? Is there a place to buy your bait or fishing tackle? Like something local where they say, you know what? I heard that Arthur guy on this podcast somewhere, and he mentioned this about Anna Maria Island. I want to check that out. What can you give us?
There's two piers. There's the main city pier, which got destroyed by the last hurricane. So they've rebuilt it completely, and there's a great restaurant on the pier. And they start serving beer at 8 in the morning and all the war vets.
That's a great tip.
Like, and it's free. You can just go fish off the pier. It's a beautiful pier. Then there's another old school pier called the Rod and Reel Pier. You got to pay like a buck. And it's, I want to say it's south of the city pier. The other thing that I do is when I fish off the beach, I bought there's a thing called a casting net. It's a round net mm-hmm. that Florida people know. That's how you go and you get your bait. You can buy them at a Walmart. They're like $20. And I would just go down to the beach in the morning with my casting net. And I would just drag the casting net and get a whole bunch of bait. Like literally just dragging the net through the water for 15 really? Minutes.
So these are little fish you're catching.
These little tiny bait fish. I get like 30, 50 of those little tiny bait fish, put in a bucket. And I just sit there and fish until I get hungry and go home for breakfast. That's kind of warm, man.
That is awesome. That sounds awesome. It certainly sounds like you really are retired. Like that's probably a topic for a whole other episode, but that your time is your own. That's what I think most people's goal is when they retire, is that they just want to have their own control over their own time.
That's
every day.
Yeah. Like I work. Like my wife, she's back in corporate life, but she had her own business for 5 years and it was doing good, but it wasn't doing great. She said, you know what? I could go back to an office. And I said, all right, go ahead. But I'm running this. And I do a lot of social stuff for real estate. So I have a channel on YouTube and stuff like that where I talk about
real estate. Oh, please promote it. What's your channel on YouTube?
Oh, it's called the Busboy Millionaire. It's on YouTube. I'm on Instagram, on TikTok. And I just talk about this. I talk about Airbnbs. I talk about landlord tenant board. I talk about real estate. I talk about broken furnaces and try to give advice to people about the world of real estate. And it's fun. It's that's my other job.
Yeah.
Where I, you know, just talk about what I like to talk about, and hopefully inspire some people to get into it. Real estate's been good to me. It's been challenging the last few years with COVID and bylaws and this kind of other thing, but this is just my thing. I had a wonderful career in advertising. I loved advertising. I saw the world, did cool stuff, made some commercials. But this is the other part of my life now, which I'm thoroughly enjoying and want to enjoy some more.
I think that really resonates with a lot of people. It's that disillusionment of climbing that corporate ladder and you realize it's not all that cracked up to be. It's like, once you get there, great. I'm happy for about 15 minutes, but then it's like, I thought I was going to be happier.
Yeah. Like here's like my business it's a very interesting business. Whereas you're like an athlete when you're young and strong, they love you. Right. Because they look at youth as fresh ideas. And so I saw the writing on the wall after a while. I go, when I get to a certain age, I'm going to make X amount of dollars and then I'm going to get aged out of this business. And then that's when I started investing in real estate. And mm-hmm. it was the best thing we ever did, because the first time I got fired from a job, I was 15 years into it. And our business is notorious for just firing people for random reasons. You lose a piece of business, they got to get rid of people. And I told my wife, I said, I got let go. She said, oh my God, are we going to be okay? I said, yeah, we have 5 houses. We'll be fine. Like, we're going to be okay. And now it's a thing. There's a lot of my contemporaries are challenged in the job market because of age. And I just, I'm so glad we did what we did. And we're not rolling around in cash and buying matching Lamborghinis or anything like that. But we got a couple of kids, we got a dog, we can take care of the bills, and we have choices as opposed to,
I love it.
Not having a lot of choice.
Yeah. That story sounds all too familiar. But we do have a limited amount of time. I just want to make sure I give a shout out again for you. How can people, if they resonate with your story, how can they get in touch with you? Can you repeat some of those social handles, or you have a website?
Yeah, so you can look, I'm on, like I said, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Look up Busboy Millionaire.
Busboy Millionaire. Busboy Millionaire,
also,
remember.
My Airbnbs are listed under Posh Digs Toronto. You can look that up, poshdigstoronto.com.
We'll put that in the notes. Make sure to, you send that to me after.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, if when you're coming back to Toronto for the summer, if you've got your place down in Florida and you need a place for a few weeks or a few months, let me know. But yeah,
reach out
for Busboy Millionaire as well. It's great talking
awesome.
To
you. Arthur Shaw. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Snowbird Investor Way. I'm sure we're going to have lots more to talk about. Unfortunately, once we hit stop record, it'll be, but we'll, if we find the time, we'll have to get you back and update on your journey with Florida.
Yeah, man. Thanks again. Everybody get your ass down to Florida, man. It's way. It's,
yeah. Way don't listen to the negativity. It's not true.
Totally.
Take care.